morning. Well, I was going to start here saying that the last time I was up here, what I shared about last time and up, but it seems like there's a lot more people than the last time I shared up here, which is good. That's a good thing. But anyway, first of all, I want to start out with the fact that, you know, I think you guys know that I do the men's studies at this church, and I do have a new one coming up. If any of you guys are interested, it's going to start February 6th. There's a sign-up sheet in back, and it does help me if you would please sign up, put your name and then your phone number there, just to know how many are going to be coming so I can order the books that are needed. So anyway, I'd love to have you there, so if you could do that, that'd be great. So as I said last time I was up here, we talked about having an intimate relationship with God, and that, you know, the secret of having an intimate relationship with God. And the truth of it is, it's not really a secret. Paul calls it a mystery. And the mystery, he states in Philippians, sorry, I'm walking over here. I was told I was supposed to stay here because of the camera thing. I'm going to have to try to do that. I don't want to be in the camera. I think that's why I'm going over there. Anyway, I'll try to stay right here. Anyway, last time I was here, I talked about the intimate relationship with God and the fact that it's not really a secret. It can be a mystery, but the mystery, Paul says, is found in Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus, there's several different places where he talks about, because I shared with you about how having that intimate relationship with God helps us to do exactly what Jesus has asked us to do. And in Luke 10, and you can find it in Luke 10 or in Matthew 22, there's two different stories where one of the Pharisees tried to, which they seem to always try to do, trick Jesus into saying something wrong or whatever. And so at this point, he said, you know, one of the Pharisees got up and says, well, teacher, which of the, you know, the commandments that you have given, which one of those are the greatest? Well, Jesus states and says, well, the greatest is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. But he says there's also another one that is equally important, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So the Pharisee says, well, who is my neighbor? You know, what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? What do you mean there? And Jesus, if you continue the story, Jesus says, well, let me tell you another story. I'm going to tell you a parable. And that seems to be how Jesus basically explained some of the things that he was telling. He told parables that kind of fit into, you know, their lives and explaining different things. So he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Anybody know the parable of the Good Samaritan? Well, if you don't, I'm going to tell you anyway. Anyway. So the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus says there was a Jewish man. He was headed from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and on his way he was robbed of everything he had. They stripped him of his clothes and they beat him and left him for dead. So he was laying there. Doesn't say actually how long he was there, but he was there for some time. And along came a priest. A priest is also a Jew. And if you know anything about, you know, priests, number one, if they thought a lot of themselves, you know, of keeping the religious laws and everything, and, you know, if they touched or did anything with the body, that they would be impure, and they'd have to go through the ceremony and do all these rituals in order to be pure again. So he's like, forget it. I'm not going to even deal with that. And he went on his way. Along came, you know, a little while later, along comes a Levite, who also worked in the temple, and he kind of did the same thing, following the Jewish laws. I can't do this, you know, I'm going to leave that guy alone. Just left him there for dead and went on his way, thinking more, obviously, of himself, Jesus said. And a little while later, along comes the Samaritan. And if you know anything, the Samaritans, they were despised, really, by the Jews. Not liked at all. They were half-breeds, you know. They didn't keep, you know, the laws like they were supposed to, and so they were despised. But as Jesus said, the Samaritan felt compassion for this guy. He went over there and he dressed his wounds, put bandages on him, put him on his own donkey, and took him into town and put him up in and paid for, you know, him having a, if you wanted to say, you know, like today, having a hotel or an inn like they have back there, paid for all that, didn't really pay attention to the fact that, wow, these guys despise me. Why would I even, you know, care about, you know, doing anything for these people? So that was a story that, and as you see that, it's like, okay, so who is my neighbor? So Jesus asked the Pharisee, who was the one that was more neighbor-like to everybody? And obviously the Pharisee said, well, the one that had mercy, you know, on the other guy. So in Philippians 2, Paul kind of, if you back there, he also states something that kind of fits more, I would say, to what some of the things that we, to me, more of our everyday life instead of, you know, thinking the fact that, because we don't necessarily have Samaritans or people like that, do we? Or maybe we do. You know, we don't have the Jews and the Gentiles. We don't have priests or anything like that anymore. But we do have people maybe that we dislike or like, or even though, even if we're Christians, you know, we sometimes think, oh, well, I'm a better Christian than that person. You know, I don't want to deal with that person. I know what that person is like. He's treated me terrible anyway. Why would I, you know, good riddance kind of thing. We tend to do that. Paul says in Philippians 2, he says, you know, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? The Samaritan had compassion on this guy. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one purpose. It's interesting when you talk about that one purpose or responsibility, if you want to say. It was given to us again, you know, by Jesus. It's interesting, you know, you talk about that relationship with Jesus and how to get to know him. And if you read and you want, and the mystery that we have that Paul talks about that is found in Jesus Christ, and there's so many things. And if you go to the Bible, you can find those things. So I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to kind of go backwards because I go from Acts to Mark to Matthew. I know I'm just a backwards person. Anyway, so Acts 1:8 states, it says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he says, you're going to be my witnesses, telling them this is what you need to do. He didn't say you could be or want to be. You know, if you want to be, that's okay. No, you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem. That is right there where we're at. So that's in Jerusalem. Let's call this church right here. You'll be my witnesses right here where we're at. Say in Camdenton. And in all of Judea, so all of Samaria, or all of Camdenton. And then he says Samaria. Remember, Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. So in Samaria, think of some place you do not want to, or some of the people that you do not want to go and be witnesses to. God tells us to be witnesses to them as well. And then he says, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Where Jay is right now, the Philippines. I mean, you think of any of the places that there is a long list, and I know when we were in New Tribes, there was a list that they had that you could actually roll out, and it would actually go probably all the way back to the back row of unreached people groups that are still out there for us to reach with the gospel. So going back to our purpose, our responsibility of what we are supposed to be doing. Mark 16:15. If anybody knows what that says, I'm gonna have to take my glasses off. This is like really small here. Mark 16:15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." Matthew, and again in Matthew 28:19, he says, "I've been given complete authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." All of the commands, although we talked about the greatest commandment, which is to to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And the fact that Jesus said that all of the other commandments and all the things that any of the prophets have said are based off of these two commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, what are we going to do? Have mercy on them. And it makes me think back to, you know, even this story makes me even think the fact that, okay, your next door neighbor is who? Anybody that doesn't know or needs your help. Anybody that is unsaved needs our help. I think of the story that Jay told us about the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus ended up going down and was in torment because he wasn't going to be able to go to heaven. And you think about the person that's next to you, if he doesn't know Christ, where is he going to go? He's going to go to that place of torment for the rest. There's no second chance. You don't know if that person is going to die when he gets in his car and leaves you in a car wreck. We don't know. Our responsibility is to share and to think of the fact that not to pass by any opportunity that we have to be able to share the gospel. Be that Samaritan, have mercy on the people that are in need. And even encouraging maybe even our brothers and sisters that are in Christ that aren't doing that, to bring them up. As Paul has stated, what I mentioned, you know, in Philippians, are your hearts tender and compassionate, then make me truly happy and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together for the one purpose. I read these, some of these verses, maybe come to mind, and I know that Brian actually just quoted. You want to come up here again, Brian, and quote that purpose statement again? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, our purpose statement. It makes me think about what our purpose means. It makes me think that, wow, the elders must have gone and gotten this out of somewhere in the Word of God. Because our purpose statement says the Potter's House exists to be the church by making Christ committed followers, who will make Christ committed followers in our community and around the world. What is this? I mean, it kind of states Acts 1:8, or even Matthew, Mark, I mean, any of those. So in our community and around the world, through relevantly not only living, but teaching the pure Word of God. So all these things get me really excited. And I know we already, you know, talked about this a little bit, and we got a missions conference coming up this next week. And who was here? How many of you guys were here on Friday night to watch the video of a few of you guys? So there's in that video, I'd seen it before, and wow, to me it's I don't even know how to explain it, I guess, because the guy, Nate Saint, was spreading the world. He had that mission that he knew that God wanted him to spread the gospel to the unreached people groups of the world. And the thing that the key points I wanted to share with this is he was a Christ-committed follower and making Christ-committed followers, because if you know that his desire, he didn't just keep to himself. You'll see, if you haven't watched the movie, I encourage you to. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure Scott said they can find it on Amazon Prime or whatever and go watch it there if you want to watch it, because it shows a father, you know, number one, loving the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind, passing that on to his wife, who then went and lived among the same people group that killed her husband, and then passing that on to his son, who as well did the exact same thing. And there's a clip that I want to share, and it's I'm just going to let you know that it is kind of rough part of the movie, but wow, is all I can say, because it explains where Steve Saint's heart is, and what he was taught, you know, even by his father, what he saw about his father. So if you could cue up that part of the movie, I'd... those last words. No one took my father's life. He gave it. Christ gave his life for us. Are we willing to give our lives for other people, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind, and to love our neighbor, because that is our neighbor. The people in this community that don't know are our neighbors. Maybe the person next to you, how well do you know them? I know if your son's or daughter's sitting next to you, you probably know them pretty well. But it is our responsibility. It is our purpose. And if we do it all together, as Paul said, at one purpose, we can get the job done that God is asking us to do. I'm going to ask Sarah to come up here and help me. We're going to do, hopefully, a visual that may help a little bit with understanding that we all have a role in this. And we know that God used ordinary people, or Jesus did, when he went and picked his own disciples. And so the first person that, Jesus came upon and he said, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, was fishermen. And the greatest fisherman, at least he thinks so, that I know here at the lake, everybody knows, Chad. Could you bring your role up? And then if you could just stay up here when you're done. So Jesus called fishermen to come and follow him and be fishers of men. He also called Matthew, who was a tax collector. So if you have the one that says tax collector on there, who is that? And then as far as we know, there's only a couple ones that we know of what their profession was besides being fishers of men. And that was, the other one was Luke, and he was known, he was a follower of God, he wasn't necessarily one of the 12, but he was still a follower, and he was a doctor. So if you have the one that says doctor on there, could you please bring that up? So we know that Jesus said other ordinary people like these that followed him. So if you were given a roll of toilet paper that just said fishers of men, and then you actually put what your profession is right now on there, could you go ahead and stand up, and then one by one you can come forward and give these roles to Sarah, if you would, please. So we have a teacher and an archer. A teacher of archery is what I'm guessing that is. Just stay up front here. My goodness, this guy has a lot of professions here. Jason, you just have too much going on, man. He says, a child of the Most High. We're going to call that just a fisher of men. Imperfect follower of Jesus. Husband to Amanda, father to Gwen, healer, Greek for Jason, by boy nurse. Okay. So we're going to just call, we know that he's a nurse, so we're going to just call him that, but he has a fishers of men up here as well. No, you did fine. You did fine. We needed to give you another pen to finish that out. Truck driver. He actually works for us. So another, and this guy is a service tech. Oops, I'm doing these the wrong way. Maybe you just need to do this there. because I got these wrong. Okay, we're going to get this right one of these days. Okay, this was the truck driver. He's going to go there. And a police officer. He's going to go here. Who else do we have? A warehouse worker. Awesome. We have a business owner. Landlord. The good kind. Very good. The good kind of landlord. Have to do that one. Hey, we have a missionary. Awesome. Except for we are all missionaries. He's a overseas, going overseas missionary. Jason, a truck driver and a cook. And another police officer. So we did this, you know, try to, you know, explain to you that we all have roles that we need to do. And if you know, as you build a pyramid like this, if you take any of your roles out, what happens? Any of these up here will fall, right? So if we take a middle one out, any of these, if I take any of these, I mean, obviously if I take that, it's not going to fall out. But if we don't, if we're not working together to do the roles that God has asked us to do, we're not going to complete that purpose that God has asked us to do. So we're going to try to flip this around, and what we did for this is we're going to flip this around because in order to complete that purpose that God has asked, we don't need necessarily all, it's not the police officers or the computer tech or the warehouse worker that really matters. It's the fact that we're all fishers of men. Our responsibility to get the purpose that God has asked us finished. You guys can go sit down. Thank you. So it's a purpose. So we have a job to do, a role to fill, and a purpose, or a role to fill and a purpose to fulfill. And that is to get the Gospels to the ends of the earth. And again, I just want to, you know, if you weren't planning on coming to the Missions Conference, I encourage you to come. You saw the clip before I even got up here of the guy that's going to come speak to us, Steve Saint. What, you know, amazing story. If you weren't challenged already, you know, you're going to be challenged, I guarantee you, all these things that we have to do those in order to, you know, keep food on our table. But that's not really why we're here on this earth. God said that he is not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to come back to himself. And he says that in Matthew 24:14, it says, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. We've got a job to do. If we want God to return, if we want to, you know, go to, you know, be there in heaven and see all the nations of the world there worshiping with us, we've got a job to do, don't we? Let's not stop what some of us are doing already. Let, you know, if we're a warehouse worker, the person that's working next to us, act and, you know, live out Christ to them. Share the gospel with them. If, you know, if opportunity, don't pass up any opportunity like the, you know, some of the priests did and the Levite did, passing up an opportunity to do what God has asked us to do and be there and love our neighbors as ourselves. I got another clip that I'm going to show, and this is that I'm ending it. Wow, it turned out perfect. So there's one of the quotes in there that said, and I would ask you to just picture yourself and going up to the foot of the cross when Jesus was there on the cross giving his life for you. Can you say, no, sorry, I'm comfortable right here where I'm at. I'm not going to go and do I believe, but I'm good with that. I still want to just stay where I'm at. Or are you going to kneel at the feet of the foot of the cross and say what Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Use me wherever you want to use me. Let me be a witness. Let me be an instrument, a conduit for you. Will you stand with me? Father God, we just thank you for who you are, what you've done for us. We thank you for the missionaries and the people that have gone before us, that have given of their lives. Because we know that they did give it. Nobody takes a life without you knowing it. God, I pray that we would go out from here and have a desire to live for you in a way that we can make the gospel attractive to other people, that we will not miss out on opportunities, God, that you bring before us to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for loving us so much, even when we do make mistakes. God, we know that you're always there to pick us up and to move us forward. Encourage us this week. Help us to be the witnesses that you've asked us to be. Help us to love our neighbor as ourself, as the Good Samaritan did. In your name, amen. So after all that, all I can say is I'm just going to say, ready?